would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. You go to Iraq or Afghanistan, you live each day expecting the road to blow up under you, and then one day, it does. You wind up at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Your surgeons are world-class, but afterward, it's a paperwork nightmare. Hurry up and wait. The military mantra prevails.
The system can't be trusted. And soldiers get less than they deserve from a system seemingly designed to run and run to cut the costs associated with fighting this war.
That's Staff Sergeant John Shannon, who lost an eye to a rifle bullet in Iraq, testifying before Congress today.
We do not fully recognize the frustrating bureaucratic and administrative processes some of these soldiers go through. We should have, and in this, I fail.
The general who lost his command at Walter Reed, George Waitman, also apologized personally today to the family sitting right behind him when he testified to Congress. Vice President Dick Cheney had a scare today. A blood clot was discovered in his left leg.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. It could be serious, even deadly. Doctors discovered a deep vein thrombosis or blood clot in Cheney's left leg after he complained of pain. They've put him on blood thinners to dissolve the clot, which left untreated could break off and possibly cause a fatal pulmonary embolism, but doctors said Cheney could return to work.
Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton made the keynote speech to the Human Rights Campaign, a national gay rights group in Washington today, and she told them gays will have an open door to the White House and a close relationship with her as president. She also said, as commander-in-chief, she would oppose the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on gays in the military. Tears trace tracks through the trails of even yesterday's tears, and some families may wonder if they will ever end in Enterprise, Alabama, where a tornado threw the roof of the high school down onto the students. Eight of them died, and today there were three funerals.
These circumstances are calling us today to gather and to pay our respect to the life of Michelle Wilson.
Pastor Lance Hogan. Michelle was 16 in the 10th grade. Children in stressful families feel more stress and they get sick more often. Research was done at the University of Rochester, Dr. Mary Casterta.
I'm a mom. When I get really stressed, sometimes I look at my kid cross-eyed and say, he looks pale to me. Doesn't he look pale to you? Are you okay? But I can't make the thermometer rise above normal.
They tracked fevers in children ages 5 to 10. More kids with more fevers in the high-stress families. Obesity surgery has tripled among American teenagers in recent years. This year, it's expected there will be more than 1,000 such surgeries for kids aged 12 to 19. Doctors say the risks are slightly lower for young people than for adults, but still, it is pretty risky stuff. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 64 points, NASDAQ down 27, oil prices $60, 7 cents a barrel, down $1.57. This is CBS News.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. Couldn't be easier. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? The first thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen, that's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the sixth straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
It's a good thing it's tough to get a squirrel to hold still.
Squirrels. They're so cute, aren't they? Did you know they can kill you?
The fleas that are on the squirrels could actually transmit the plague virus.
Santa Monica, California Parks Department head Joe McGrath says his city has more squirrels than they know what to do with. But people don't like to see those cute little rodents with poofy tails exterminated, so they're getting creative. They're going to put the squirrels on birth control.
No other animals will be given the immuno contraceptive. No animals will be destroyed.
McGrath points out that he's not anti-squirrel.
The ground squirrels are kind of cute.
He just wants fewer them around. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
A German ostrich farmer is blaming three teenagers with firecrackers for his troubles. He claims after the firecrackers went off, his stud ostrich, Gustav, was a stud no more. Couldn't perform for 6 months, so traumatized was he by the tiny explosions. The farmer figures it cost him 14 ostrich chicks worth $460 apiece. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, and if they ever make me emperor, I will banish Ann Coulter to Alcatraz.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps.
It's a sunny 75-degree day in San Francisco. And wherever you're listening to this program, you have my gratitude. At any moment, you can join the conversation because this talk show is a two-way street. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. It's 888-573-8372. You can always email me 24/7, Peter at peterbcollins.com. Up first, Jameson Fosler will join us in a moment from Media Matters for America. Later this hour, Bill Hartung returns. He's at the World Policy Institute. He's an expert on the international arms trade. We'll get his thoughts on the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran and the origins of those EFPs, the shaped explosives that Bush blames on Iran because they're showing up in Iraq. Also on today's program, Robert Dreyfus, investigative journalist, returns. He has collaborated on a powerful cover story for the new Mother Jones magazine, and it's called The Iraq Handbook for Dummies. And they have a picture of W on the cover with the caption, "What Condi and Cheney Should Have Told Me Before We Got Into This Dagburn Mess." It's a primer that'll help you separate Shia from Sunni and Skiri from the Mahdi Army, for example. That's coming up next hour. Also going to take a look at the Lawrence Livermore Labs, operated by the University of California. And they have been teetering on the brink of having the contracts withdrawn by the federal government due to security lapses. And despite that, they just got a new contract to help develop the new generation of nukes. A longtime critic of Livermore, Jackie Cabasso, will be on with us coming up in our second hour today. Then, as usual in the Free Speech Zone, we'll be taking your calls. And one of the topics we'll be talking about is the threat to close all of the public libraries in Jackson County, Oregon. We have some listeners there who can hear us on KGOE out of Eureka, and on a good day, a KBBR from Coos Bay. And that's the county where Medford is the county seat. And it's a little complicated, but they're losing federal money that's going to cause them, among other things, to shut down their libraries as early as about a month from now. So that's one of the topics we'll be talking about straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Jameson Foser is a senior fellow, or something like that, at Media Matters for America. They're on the web at MediaMatters.org. Jameson, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Not bad, Jamo. It's been quite a weekend. We covered on Friday the latest bimbo eruption of Ann Coulter, which occurred at this conservative confab in Washington. And I tried to find some humor in her material. The one about Al Gore having swallowed Michael Moore, well, it almost made a grade for, you know, really old conservatives. It didn't do much for me. But there has been quite a reaction to her smearing of John Edwards by, say, you know, implying that he's a faggot and that she couldn't use the word because you'd have to go to rehab. And some of the negative reaction is even coming from conservatives.
Yeah, you know, I think that some of that reaction is a little insincere. I'd love to think that that it isn't, that people are finally fed up with her. But Ann Coulter didn't say anything last week at CPAC that is any worse than what she's been saying for years. She's a bigot, yes, and what she said on Friday at CPAC indicated that she's a bigot. But we already knew that. A year ago at the very same conference, she referred to Muslims as ragheads, and they invited her back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this expression of shock and outrage that some of them are having, I don't think is sincere. And it's also not like she's alone in this kind of stuff, from Rush Limbaugh to Michael Savage to Glenn Beck. There is no shortage of conservative pundits and leaders who express these kinds of sentiments and worse every week. Like it or not, Ann Coulter is very much the face of the modern conservative movement.
Not.
No, she is.
Oh, I agree with you. I just don't like it.
Well, you know, the people who really shouldn't like it are the millions of conservatives around the country who are sincere in their beliefs and who are not bigots and who are not hateful people, mm-hmm. and who do not express sentiments like Bill Clinton should be assassinated, which is something that Ann Coulter said nearly a decade ago.
Yeah.
So, again, this you know, surprise that people are expressing over Coulter is, I think, a little insincere. But she is very indicative of what the national leadership of the conservative movement and the Republican Party have become. And if I were a grassroots conservative, I would be upset about that. I would want to overthrow them. Mm-hmm. I would want them to no longer be representative of me. But that's what people need to understand, is that that's what the movement is. Rush Limbaugh refers to feminists as Nazis. He says a Chavez is a Chavez. He suggests that women actually want to be sexually harassed. And Dick Cheney, the second highest ranking Republican in the country, embraces him on a regular basis.
Well, and in addition, one of the things that Limbaugh has taken to doing, and I don't listen to him very often anymore, but I popped in about 6 months ago, and he was ridiculing Professor George Lakoff from UC Berkeley by repeatedly referring to him as Lakoff and then pausing, you know, for an implied joke that rhymes with that. And so they really do work that turf very hard, the name-calling, the very clever epithets that they think up, and it does work often. We've seen now this new show. I only could watch it once, the so-called comedy show on the Fox News Channel, the half-hour news hour on Sundays. But it was rife with that kind of material that I guess some conservatives find funny, but it's just mean and heartless at its core.
It is mean. It's heartless. In many cases, it's bigoted. In many cases, it incites violence. But it is embraced by, among others, Dick Cheney. It is embraced by the national leaders of the Republican Party and national conservative leaders. And that's really the story here. And that's what's getting kind of lost in some of this coverage of Coulter, is some of the news organizations that have bothered to cover it portray it as, oh, you know, Ann Coulter, she's up to crazy things again. And what will she say next? the fact that Ann Coulter is a bigot is not news here. What's news and what people need to understand is how she has been embraced by the modern leaders of the conservative movement, mm-hmm. and how she is not alone, how Rush Limbaugh does these same things, and Dick Cheney comes to his radio show on a regular basis and embraces him, and not just Dick Cheney. When the Republicans took control of Congress in 1994, they brought Rush Limbaugh in. They called him the majority maker. That's the news here. The news is how thoroughly this kind of hate speech and bigotry is embraced at the highest levels of the Republican Party and the conservative movement, and that's getting ignored here.
JMO, it's interesting because we were offered an interview today with a man named Dan Borchers, who is editor of a conservative website, Citizens for a Principled Conservatism. And the news release says he was forcibly expelled from CPAC on Friday after he probed the subject of Ann Coulter and after he and others criticized the so-called hate speech of Ann Coulter. They say that he was roughed up as he was manhandled out of the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington on Friday. Now, it's interesting to me that it happened. It's more interesting that he wants to go public and talk about it.
That is interesting, and to me it's another indication of, you know, the people who organized CPAC have today, I guess, put out a statement, you know, suggesting that they don't condone that speech from Coulter's. Well, they knew who she was. Again, last year at their event, she referred to Muslims as ragheads, and they invited her back. So this rhetoric on their part that, you know, they don't really approve of what she said on Friday is completely disingenuous. They're a little bit embarrassed that this one's gotten some attention, and so they're pretending that they're bothered by it. They'll bring her back next year.
Well, and JMO, I don't know who wrote this headline at Media Matters, but it's quite apt. Coulter's reward for her downright hateful comments, another appearance on CNN. And you have a clip here from 6:52 a.m. Pacific time, so that was this morning. And she gets to appear on Paula Zahn tonight at 8 to repeat her hateful epithets, I guess.
Yeah, you know, yesterday we sort of tongue-in-cheek posted a suggestion that she'd be on NBC any day now, because NBC is frequently hosted her on the Today Show. CNN beat NBC to the punch, it looks like, but unfortunately we were right that the media isn't going to treat her the way they should, which is to ignore her. She's nothing more than a bigot. She's not any kind of intellectual leader. She's not. She doesn't bring anything to the table. She's just a raving lunatic and a bigot, and she gets attention for it.
Well, and here's a response from the target of her hateful remark on Friday, Senator John Edwards, candidate for president.
I think it's important that we not reward hateful, selfish, childish behavior with attention. We really need to stay focused on the issue.
So that's what he had to say, which is kind of an interesting high road approach. Now, does that really work, JMO? Because we've seen Democrats in the past kind of try to take the high road, fail to respond to low blows, and yet the blow stands.
Well, there's another problem here, and it's one that Bob Summerby, who runs a website called Daily Howler, and people should read that if they don't already. But what he pointed out today is that this Coulter comment last week is, in the tone, much harsher, but really in substance no different from what a lot of more mainstream reporters have been doing for years, which is trying to feminize leading Democratic candidates. In 2000, you remember everybody liked to mock Al Gore, saying that he was taking lessons on how to be an alpha male from a woman. They focused on his clothes. Maureen Dowd wrote repeatedly in the New York Times in his voice. She mocked him in his voice, claiming that he thinks of himself as, "I look so pretty." We saw the same thing with John Kerry. There was in 2004 the made-up story about him getting a manicure and obsession about his hair. And with John Edwards also, there's the Breck girl notion, which again Maureen Dowd has repeated over and over again. So really you can see what Coulter did as just a more over-the-top and extreme version, at least in word choice, of what the media as a whole does to male Democratic candidates. And as somebody pointed out, what they do to Democratic candidates who are women, like Hillary Clinton, is they make them appear masculine.
Yeah. We need to take a break. We'll return with Jameson Fosser from MediaMatters.org in just a moment. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Coming up next, Michael Savage gets a comeuppance, and bloggers deserve more credit. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar, coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues at 23 after the hour. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. If you've never been to their website, you're missing something, mediamatters.org. They cover what the media covers and, well, the weaknesses in the coverage in various ways, and I think they do an excellent job. It's mediamatters.org. Briefly, J-Mo, I just wanted to touch on a little comeuppance for Mad Michael Savage. To me, he's the most irresponsible guy on radio in this country. And while I do never believe in censoring people, I believe that the broadcasters should exercise their responsibility and good taste and take his program off the air. Last week, he had a moment when he reacted to Melissa Etheridge's comments at the Oscars, and he paid a price for it.
He did. He had recently been signed by CAA to represent him, and they have reportedly dropped him in the wake of his comments.
Talent were they going to promote of his?
That's not clear. I wonder if they actually dropped him because of the comments he made or because they just realized they'd made a huge mistake.
All right, well, that's enough of that. I wanted to focus here on a piece that you posted. You write a column called Media Matters. How many times do you post? A couple of times a week?
It's once a week. It's on Fridays. Once a week on Fridays.
Okay. And in your Friday piece, you talk about the hard work that many bloggers are doing that is true journalism, developing stories such as the one that you credit to TPM Muckraker related to the U.S. attorneys who've been sacked by the Bush administration across the country. And you go into detail about the timeline of his publication, and it's now, of course, been picked up by the corporate media. And to my knowledge, you're the first person to give TPM Muckraker the appropriate credit. Likewise, Salon.com has been writing stories about the mistreatment and shabby conditions afforded to our returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans long before the celebrated story of the Washington Post that caused the Army Secretary to resign on Friday.
I should point out that some local media had been doing some reporting on the fired attorney story all along. In fact, that's where TPM Muckraker first noticed this story. But what I thought was interesting was that when, in mid-January, news of these firings started to leak out, Josh Marshall, who runs TPM Muckraker and Talking Points Memo, and his small staff immediately saw it as a big deal and as very suspicious firings and focused a lot of attention on it and really did some great work in helping to expose what happened here. And at the same time, Jay Carney, who's the Washington bureau chief of Time magazine, looked at the story and dismissed it and kind of made fun of Marshall for being a conspiracy theorist. Well, it's a month and a half later, and we know who was right. Josh Marshall's skepticism was right, and Jay Carney's just sort of blind belief that the Bush administration couldn't have done something this badly was wrong, and was also exactly the opposite attitude that a reporter like him should have taken. He just credulously believed the Bush administration's explanation for things, and as we've seen over the last 6 or 7 years, you know, that's rarely a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So Time has ignored this story, and Carney has ignored this story, and they've gotten beaten badly by by a bunch of bloggers. And that's the kind of thing that you don't hear about often enough when you see blogs, and particularly progressive blogs, get covered in the major media.
Mm-hmm.
The major media likes to portray them as these unwashed masses who use vulgarity and don't really do anything. Well, this is actually one of the more interesting pieces of journalism that's happened over the last several years, is what Josh Marshall has done, not only on this story, but on a few other stories using his website.
You also mentioned Fire Dog Lake and their real-time blogging of the Libby trial, and that finally got them a front-page story on the New York Times. But, JMO, as happens so often, the Times reported it with one tongue firmly in cheek, where at the same time they offer attention to the work of these groups, the tone of the articles tends to be dismissive.
It often is. It often is. And you know, all this came last week with the explosion of the U.S. Attorney story, and really I think, Josh Marshall deserves a great deal of credit for that. At the same time that Howie Kurtz, who's one of the more influential reporters about the media, was writing in the Washington Post and criticizing anonymous comments on the Huffington Post, purportedly by liberals, that Kurtz described as vile, and they were, if they were true. But it just struck me that that's the kind of treatment that the major media gives bloggers, is they were focusing on literally anonymous comments, not even comments by the people who run these blogs, to try to make all bloggers look bad. Well, at the same time, there's actually some really interesting and extraordinary journalism going on in a lot of progressive blogs, whether it's Josh Marshall's or at Fire Dog Lake. They've done more to bring real-time news about the Libby trial to the American people than any news organization has. But Howard Kurtz doesn't write about that. He doesn't write about those great things that actual high-profile, influential bloggers are doing. Instead, he's just cherry-picking a couple of extreme anonymous comments.
Mm-hmm.
To make everybody look bad.
Yeah, very good. Well, it's a great piece, and I recommend it. Find it at mediamatters.org. The byline is Jameson Foser. Thanks, JMO.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll talk to you again soon. Coming up next, William Hartung from the World Policy Institute on Iran. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
so it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Where go?
Tom Hartman.
As a country, we should have a national trade policy. And that trade policy should, at its core, at the very least, say that, by and large, we want to make sure that if we are buying $1 trillion worth of stuff from the rest of the world, that we are selling $1 trillion worth of stuff to the rest of the world.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
Because otherwise, we end up a banana republic.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon, on KRXA 540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Bush to Ahmadinejad. Are you tough enough, dude?
Walk 10 miles on my own.
joining us for this half hour of the Peter B. Collins Show is William Hartung. He's director of the Project on the Control of the International Arms Trade at the World Policy Institute. He's also a research associate and project director at the New York-based Council on Economic Priorities. And in his weaker moments, he does some stand-up comedy stuff. Bill Hartung, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me.
Still looking for your next stand-up on Comedy Central. Has that been scheduled?
Well, you know, there's a few steps in between, but I hope springs eternal.
Okay. I wanted to first get your thoughts on the weekend meeting in Saudi Arabia where the president of Iran, Mr. Ahmadinejad, went to have a hand-holding session with King Abdullah. And the news accounts say that they said a lot of nice things to one another, but not much came out of it. Is that your view?
I think that's right. I mean, there may be some attempt to at least measure each other as to where they stand. You know, the Saudis would be important to the U.S. if they decide to go against Iraq. They'd like to show that they have, you know, support among Middle East allies and so forth. So for Ahmadinejad, it doesn't hurt to, you know, kind of put out a feeler and see if he can sort of head it off the pass.
They're not natural allies, though.
No, they wouldn't be. There's the religious differences. There's the fact that, you know, Iran wants to be a bigger power in the Gulf. The Saudis, although they have money, they don't have people. They don't have the military. You know, they don't really, they can't match up with Iran.
Do the Saudis really want to rein in Hezbollah, or is that simply the bidding of the United States?
You know, I think they'd be happy to see Hezbollah be in a position to harass Israel, similarly as Hamas has done in the past. So I think it's partly trying to get in line, at least rhetorically, with the U.S. position.
Okay. And what do you make of the upcoming summit, the neighborhood gathering in Baghdad this coming weekend, that the U.S. wants to, you know, try to embrace and distance itself from at the very same moment? Because this, of course, is not a summit that responds to the urgings of the Baker-Hamilton Iraqi Study Group report. This is simply something that the Iraqis decided to do, and the U.S. couldn't say no.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, they could have said no, but it would have been embarrassing. I think if it was up to Dick Cheney alone, they probably would have said no. So there's a tiny bit of wiggle room. They're kind of almost willing to let Condoleezza Rice be a Secretary of State, you know, as we saw in the negotiations with North Korea. But I think there's a long way to go before there's any genuine opening to Iran, at least from this administration.
But is there some promise? I mean, after all, it was about a year ago that we said that it was okay for Zalmay Khalilzad, who was then and is on his way out now as our ambassador to Iraq, it was okay for Zal to have some meetings with the Iranians, but they were never scheduled. So is this in some ways an effort to follow up on that, or do you think it's totally unrelated?
Well, it could be. I mean, I think there is a split in the administration about how to approach Iran. But the forces that wanted some kind of dialogue, wanted to hold off short of military action, have always been, until recently, on the defensive. But I think as the war in Iraq continues to go horribly, and I think even though, you know, for public consumption, the Bush folks say, oh, it's great, we're winning, maybe, you know, the pace of success isn't quite what we'd like, but you know, we're going to win this thing. I think internally they know that it's been a disaster. And so some of the neocons who want to go up against Iran have a harder case to make this time around.
What do you make of the British announcement that they are easing out of Iraq? We have a coalition down to one now. But they are basically going to put the same number of troops they pull out of Basra into Afghanistan, at least short term.
Well, that's probably what the U.S. should do. Maybe not in, you know, in proportional numbers. They wouldn't need those kinds of numbers in Afghanistan. But I think it's definitely a signal that they think Iraq is lost and that there might still be some way to keep Afghanistan from being completely overrun by the Taliban.
Now, one view of the British pullout is that they privately acknowledged that they lost control of Basra several years ago, and they basically have been confined to their compounds and just kind of carefully patrolling their own perimeters and hoping to stay out of trouble. Is that a fair assessment?
That's the impression I have. You know, it hasn't been big news here, but I think that's probably fairly accurate.
Mm-hmm. And there was, I'm trying to remember what it was. There was some incident over the weekend in Basra that involved Iranians. Can you summon that?
No,
okay. I can't recall. I breezed through it in the newspaper, and it's not jumping out for me right now.
I'm so skeptical of anything they say about Iran at this point that sometimes I don't delve into it as deeply as I probably should.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make of the administration's earnest and kind of excessive efforts to blame Iran for these EFPs that form very nasty explosive devices? And you know, there was the bizarre news conference now 3 weeks ago where no one would speak on the record, and they really, it was so murky as to be bizarre. There was a second episode where, again, they're telling us that Iran is supplying, you know, war material to fighters in Iraq. First of all, I don't find that surprising. And secondly, this is one of those cases where the administration is saying, look, 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 there are bad guys in Iraq. And when I hear that, I think, yeah, it's your fault. I mean, this is one of those things that you didn't plan for. And it's not news. You are simply drawing attention to it, either to distract us from the mess you've created in the parts of Iraq torn by civil war, and the adventures that you hope to trick us into related to Iran.
Well, that's how I see it. I mean, it was kind of comical. I mean, you know, if there wasn't so much at stake, you know, the way that they tried to foist off these weapons as some kind of big news, the fact that they tried to blame the Iranian leadership, and then their own head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said, well, I don't really think we have proof of that. Then the president telling the country, well, it doesn't matter whether top Iranian leaders know or not. The point is the weapons are there and they're killing Americans. And, you know, so they, within a very short time, they went from blaming Iran to saying, well, maybe it's not the leadership, to saying, well, it doesn't matter whether they did it or not. So, I mean, I guess the silver lining is, unlike in the Iraq War, the their mythology is getting punctured in a much shorter time frame and before they take, you know, major hostile action against Iran. But I think possibly the biggest element of this was some hope of blaming the whole mess on Iran, and almost, you know, the equivalent of Ho Chi Minh Trail served mm-hmm. in the Vietnam period.
Well, and there's a distract and diversion attempt here, because we know from the recent statistics that the lion's share of American troops are dying in Anbar at the hands of Sunni insurgents. And so to now say that the Iranian-supplied Shiite factions in Iraq pose this big imminent threat and we need to go attack Iran as a result, I find it an attempt to, you know, get our eyes off the ball.
Well, I think it's partly that, and partly they're just, you know, they're so confused about what to do. Now they're going into al-Sadr's neighborhood. They're starting to, you know, search for weapons there. They're going to possibly go up against his militias. So they really, they're at this point where they sort of don't know where to turn.
But so far as they've attempted to pacify Sadr City, they've gotten very little resistance. It appears that Muqtada has said, lay low, boys.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because they're going to be gone sooner or later. We know that. Let's just keep our powder dry, and when they're gone, then we'll clean up.
You know, there may be a point where they're provoked to fight, but I don't think they're, you know, raring to do so.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've done quite a bit of work in the international arms trade. When you hear these American reports in an attempt to pin so much on Tehran and the Quds force, the elite of the Iranian military, you probably know much better than I do that, for example, the infrared triggers that appear to be widely used against our forces in Iraq have many open sources, including Radio Shack in the United States. And one source in London that we talked to said that some of these triggers that they've been finding in Iraq match those that were given by the British government surreptitiously to the Irish Republican Army so that the Brits would know what kind of technology the IRA was using and have a greater chance of intercepting it. Have you heard any of those reports, and do you give them any credence?
Yeah, there was a an article about it in the Atlantic Monthly some time ago by British intelligence person who had knowledge of this. And the United States, was aware of this. They let it go on. I think there was even some elements of U.S. technology that were part of this whole episode. There seems to be this penchant for kind of short-term approaches to weapons transfer. So, Bin Laden himself formed his network and got some of his initial arms from the U.S. covert supplies to the Afghan rebels when they were fighting the Soviet Union back in the 80s. So they don't seem to learn from this, that, once you put those things out there, once you give them to these non-state groups who don't necessarily have loyalty to you as their first priority, they're going to come back to haunt you later. And I think the Bin Laden phenomenon is probably the most extreme case of that. But, of course, Saddam Hussein got all kinds of dual-use technology, biological agents, material that he used for the Scud missile forces, some atomic technology, all from the United States in the run-up to the first Gulf War. So, as much as they try to use these things to kind of manipulate their allies and armed proxies and so forth, more often than not, it seems to blow up in their faces.
Mm-hmm. Bill Hartung, a kind of open-ended question to someone who I expect knows much more than I do. Have you seen any information surface in the international arms world that people like Gorbanifar or are active these days? And is there anything, I want to talk in the next segment about Cy Hirsch's fabulous article in the New Yorker last week, but are there any activities that are bubbling under the radar that Americans haven't heard about so far that might give us pause about our intentions toward Iran or other nations in that neighborhood?
Well, Gorbanifar turned up a year or more ago and said he could be a go-between between the U.S. and Iran. And he was working in conjunction with people like Michael Ledeen and Elliot Abrams, who had been involved in the Iran-Contra scandal, which worked out so wonderfully, of course.
It was brilliant.
But apparently the CIA kind of headed that off, as they had tried to do back when Ollie North was running his renegade operation. These folks are definitely around. Victor Bout, who's a notorious arms dealer, was actually paid by the U.S., I think probably inadvertently, to bring weapons into Iraq. So he ended up being on the U.S. taxpayers' payroll for a while, at the same time that he's the guy who armed the butchers in Sierra Leone, the rebels in Angola. He's even been alleged to have given arms to the Taliban, which made their way to Al-Qaeda. So there's definitely there's these traditional arms dealers are hovering around the scene. There was also a report of 100,000 or more U.S.-supplied AK-47s in Iraq that just disappeared. They don't know what happened to them. So some of them may have made their way into the hands of arms dealers. Many of them may have just been leaked to existing militias in
Iraq.
Well,
somebody needs some sidearms and weapons to protect the missing $8 billion.
Well, exactly, because it's probably big piles of shrink-wrapped cash.
Yeah, you got bricks of Benjamins. What do you do?
It's probably in some cave somewhere that they dug in the sand.
It's really hard to fold them up and put them in that magic wallet. We'll take a break and continue with William Hartung from the World Policy Institute. We'll go to the phones in a moment, so grab a line if you have a question or comment. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'm still Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. My guest is Bill Hartung, director of the Project on Control of International Arms Trade at the World Policy Institute. A little musical moment from Michael Fronte.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber.
Infused with some political anger there, that's Michael Fronte and Spearhead, the title song from their new CD called Yell Fire. You don't do it in a crowded theater, but when your wacko president's ready to launch another war, somebody's got to yell fire. And Bill Hartung, Seymour Hersh has been doing an excellent job. He's not alone. There are other reporters working the story, too. But his piece in The New Yorker last week suggests that the U.S. is very active in covert operations in the Middle East, some in line with the Saudis, and others that are more independent involve mercenaries like the MEK, which we believe have been inserted behind Iranian border lines. What is your sense about the level of risk we face, and can we dial back this president from his eagerness to go to war?
Well, I think these covert operations are among the most dangerous because we have the least handle on them. You know, if it's a question of deployments of ships, things that are more visible that the public knows about and understands, and I think it's easier to generate opposition for reporters to ask about it, to sort of keep them at least somewhat on the defensive rhetorically as to whether they should go ahead with this. But once they start doing these covert actions, they sort of begin stirring the pot. It's sort of the beginning steps of what could be a conflict, and that does, I think, make it harder to step back, you know, once they've unleashed that sort of activity.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the program today with Bill Hartung.
Hello there, Peter. And, Bill, I often feel a need to share some of my own harsh conclusions on this subject with anyone that's discussing it, because it is my belief that this all goes back to the earliest days of PNAC. They were planning invasions of the Middle East back then. They tried to even sell it to Bill Clinton. But there's nothing at all about our involvement there that is noble. It is all about profits for the big special interest corporations that are there receiving their big no-bid. Our treasury is literally being emptied into their pockets, and that's what this is all about, nothing more. So,
well, it is noble if you think $3 a gallon gas and the profits they deliver to the oil companies are noble, Dave.
I don't really think that, though, Peter.
I think I know that. Bill Hartung, your reaction?
Well, I think that's certainly a part of it. You know, they're lining the pockets of Halliburton and DynCorp and all these companies, which turn around, give 90-95% of their political contributions to Republicans. But I think it's also about the, he mentioned the project for the New American Century. They had this view of how to use U.S. power at the end of the Cold War, that rather than disarming, they could move basically to reshape the world as the U.S. wanted without worrying about having the Soviet Union to contend with. And so their plan for the Middle East is about that power projection. It's about oil, and then the you know, the contracts of these companies become part of that mix. And I think some of those folks are a little bit on the defensive because of what a, you know, disaster they've created in Iraq. But, you know, a lot of them are still there. People like Elliot Abrams seems to be getting a promotion into the State Department from the NSC. So I think we still have to kind of look at that PNAC blueprint is something that we have to defend against.
Yeah. Dave, anything else?
Well, to me, it's clear that it is criminals engaging us in a war for their own criminal motivations, and that puts it on a whole different level. We need to be out of that war, and we need to get rid of the people that put us there.
Well, we also need more courage on the part of Democrats, because I'm fully persuaded that the only way they're going to get this president in check is to cut off funding, and they appear to be so deeply intimidated at the threat of being, you know, called disloyal to the troops or that sort of thing, that they can't even contemplate it. Bill Hartung, what's your sense?
Well, there's been some sort of baby steps. Jack Murtha had wanted to set up this kind of convoluted argument that you can't send more troops unless they're ready, and they're not going to be ready because they don't have the equipment and the training. But, you know, I think that's not that hard for the administration to overcome. They can just say, you know, our life as we know it is at risk, and we have to send people, you know, as they are, and we'll train them when they get over there. And unless you really take them head on, that we shouldn't be in this war, that we should get out as quickly as possible, that Congress is going to go after all the money, not just tinker at the margins. Somebody like Bush, who's a true believer in either, I don't know if they're his ideas or the ideas of his advisors, but nonetheless, he doesn't have a lot of truck with what some of his people call the reality-based community.
Yeah, and he leaves the truck on the ranch. Thank you, Bill. Great to talk with you. William Hartung from the World Policy Institute, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, the Iraq Handbook for Dummies. Robert Dreyfus from Mother Jones joins us.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Military medical care on the firing line.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Army generals apologize but still take it on the chin as Congress opens hearings at the Walter Reed Army Hospital.
Vice President Cheney has a new health problem.
Doctors put Cheney on blood thinners after finding a blood clot in his left leg. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A House panel went to Walter Reed Army Medical Center today for hearings on the shoddy treatment of some wounded soldiers. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
House members heard disturbing testimony from the wounded. One soldier who lost his eye in Iraq told of endless red tape that left him sitting in his room for weeks waiting for care. Specialist Jeremy Duncan, severely injured by an IED, said his outpatient room had black mold and holes in the wall.
It wouldn't fit for anybody to live in a room like that.
General Kevin Kiley, who used to run Walter Reed and now oversees all military hospitals, said he was sorry.
And as I share these failures, I also accept the responsibility and a challenge for rapid corrective action.
But members of Congress, including Democrat John Tierney, who chaired the hearing, were not satisfied.
This is absolutely the wrong way to treat our troops, and serious reforms need to happen immediately.
Tierney and others say the problem clearly is nationwide and a basic breakdown in the system to deal with returning soldiers with serious injuries. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Now this.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality documents. Now, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white or color copies. Office Depot can print and copy almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller has the story on Vice President Dick Cheney.
Feeling a pain in his left leg, Cheney consulted his doctors. They performed an ultrasound examination and found a deep vein thrombosis. It's a potentially life-threatening blood clot. Were it to break off and go to the heart, the lungs, or the brain, it could be fatal. Sometimes surgery is warranted, but Cheney's doctors put him on blood thinners and said he could return to work. Sometimes long airplane flights bring on such clots. Cheney returned last week from a 10-day round-the-world trip that had him airborne for some 65 hours. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
As early as tomorrow, the Bush administration could add more fuel to the fire of the debate over its troop surge in Iraq. The White House is ready to ask Congress for the money to fund 21,500 additional combat troops plus 6,000 support personnel. In Baghdad today, the deadliest attack in a week, a suicide car bombing in the historic Booksellers District, killed at least 30 people. Elsewhere, gunmen killed at least 7 Shiite pilgrims as they headed to shrines for a religious observance, and Shiite death squads were blamed for most, if not all, of the 30 bullet-riddled bodies found around Baghdad today. Payola was a big radio scandal in the 1950s, and recently it came back as stations and programmers were accused of taking cash or gifts from major record labels in exchange for featuring their artists. Today, in a tentative settlement with regulators, major station operators agreed to pay a penalty and promised more variety on the air.
Details of the deal not yet announced, not absolutely final, but this company, CBS Radio, Clear Channel, Entercom, and Citadel are expected to pay $12.5 million to the Federal Communications Commission, and the companies would obey new rules restricting their contact with the biggest music producers. Also, they agreed to devote more than 4,000 hours of airtime for independent music labels and local artists.
CBS News correspondent Dan Revive. Called to the suburban home of Sacramento Kings forward Ron Artest this morning, police say they found an injured woman who said she'd been assaulted by the NBA star. Artest was arrested on suspicion of domestic violence. Authorities in Mount Clemens, Michigan, say 37-year-old Stephen Grant has given them a very lengthy confession, admitting he killed and dismembered his wife. They believe Tara Grant was strangled in early February, soon after she returned from a business trip to Puerto Rico. Police say the couple had been arguing about her frequent travel. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. Couldn't be easier. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? The first thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Someone knowing your name is no small thing. Dedicated fraud specialists there for you if your identity is stolen? That's reassuring. Not needing direct deposit with your free checking is truly free checking. Wachovia has just been rated number one in customer satisfaction for the sixth straight year. And it's not because of one big reason, but all the little ones. Are you with Wachovia?
Rating based on fourth quarter 2006 ACSI customer satisfaction results of the largest U.S. retail banks.
Families living in a
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up later this hour, Jacqueline Cabasso, Executive Director of the Western States Legal Foundation, joins us to talk about the thrilling news that the Bush administration has selected a factory for the new generation of nuclear weapons. Ah, isn't that exciting? I'll give you a hint. It is one of the laboratories operated by the University of California. And next hour, we'll be opening up the phone lines. Take your calls in the free speech zone. You know the rules. We take calls on any topic, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And you're welcome to call in the meantime, too, if you have a question or a comment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. I don't know why Robert Dreyfus has time to talk with us today, but maybe he is spent because he's got articles out in every major publication right now. The current issue of Rolling Stone has an article called Evangelicals in Exile. We're going to talk about his Iraq 101, a primer that's in the new issue of Mother Jones. Washington Monthly has a story about what would happen in the event of a U.S. pullout from Iraq. You've got a Tom Paine piece, Breakdown at the Iraq Lie Factory. In The Nation, you recently published an article about Doug Feith and what the Libby trial told us about the Office of Special Plans. And you got a piece at TomPaine.com, and that's just what I'm reading from the Robert Dreyfus website. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great fine. How do you have time to talk with us when you...
Well, I've got a whole staff of ghostwriters, you know, who churn all this out for me, and I just collect the paychecks.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. Of course, I mean, you know, that's several weeks' worth of work. It's not like I did this all in the last couple of days. But I've been busy and happy. How are you?
Yes, you have. I'm doing fine. I have a hot rumor that you were on the left coast last week and you survived.
Every time I come out there, I wonder why I don't live there, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful spot, and it's 75 today and sunny. I don't know why I'm inside talking to you.
Well, I guess we're both where we don't want to be then.
Yeah, no, but this is important, and this is the second place I'd rather be. Anyway, I want to mention also that you were palling around with our friend Katrina Rill, who next week will take over the reins as producer of the Peter B. Collins Show.
I do know that, and I think that's terrific.
Yeah, me too. I'm thrilled. And Matt Renner, our able producer, is moving on into journalism. He's taken a job as a reporter and assistant editor at truthout.org. So it's all very interesting. Now let's take a look at the article that made the cover of Mother Jones this month, the Iraq Handbook for Dummies. Did they have to license that from IDG?
You know, I wondered about that. I'm not sure how that works, and I thought that was a little edgy myself.
And I think IDG actually owns all of the available glow-in-the-dark yellow ink in the Western world, so we give credit to Mother Jones for putting all that together. What was the genesis of this piece? Did you have a moment of confusion, or were you responding to, say, Sylvester Reyes, the new chair of the House Intelligence Committee, who, when queried by a reporter, really didn't know diddly about the difference between Sunni and Shia?
Yeah, that is where this started. And it wasn't just Congressman Reyes. There was a whole sequence of people that Jeff Stein from Congressional Quarterly, a magazine here, kind of ambushed with this basic question of things like Al-Qaeda, is it Sunni or Shia? And most of the people he talked to got all confused and stuttered and stammered and couldn't remember. And the same thing with Hezbollah, and you know, they couldn't keep the Sunnis and the Shiites straight in Iraq and who's who. And so it stands to reason that if our august elected officials can't tell one from another and don't know who's who, that probably the basic American, semi-political junkies themselves get confused. And so I think that's why Mother Jones decided to put together this package as a kind of a basics guide to what's happening in Iraq, because, you know, it is all falling apart, and I think Americans have figured out 4 years now into the war that it isn't going as well as the Bush administration told us it would, so they've turned against it, but I'm not sure that they really have a grasp of the details. And of course, when you don't have the kind of basic knowledge about something, it's kind of hard to evaluate ideas about what to do next.
I had a moment last week, and you know, I talk about this stuff every day. I consider myself fairly well versed on these issues, but I was reading Seymour Hersh's powerful new article in the New Yorker, where he talks about the various alliances that the U.S. has struck since we invaded Iraq. And to boil it all down, the groups we are now supporting are strong allies of Al-Qaeda. And for the average American to figure out, you know, is a Sunni in Iran the same as a Sunni in Lebanon, the same as a Sunni in Iraq? The simple answer is not quite, but as we attempt to parse these teams, we really need a scorecard that we can keep track of everybody with.
Yeah, well, suffice it to say, there's a lot of oversimplification going on, just the way you can't take any religion, including Christianity or Catholicism or Judaism, and say, if you're Jewish, you must think this way or that way. I mean, obviously, there's a huge spectrum of opinion in any religious class, and certainly that's true within Islam and within its various branches. So I think we all need to resist the urge to oversimplify. On the other hand, there are certain basic things that we can get straight. And so that's why this package exists, to kind of say, well, this is who these various players are, and try to help people sort out the fact that there is a conflict going on in Iraq, but it isn't, an impossible to understand one. It's possible to kind of get a grip on or a grasp of who's fighting who and what the issues are.
Well, and when I achieve moments of clarity, Bob Dreyfus, I can't imagine that Bush ever gets there at all.
No, I don't think anybody believes that President Bush has a clue when it comes to understanding this stuff. He reads the scripts that his speechwriters give him, and when he you know extemporaneizes on this, when he tries to speak off the cuff, he gets so tangled up in it that it starts to become embarrassing. So the president is certainly not especially imbued with a deep knowledge.
And what about Field Marshal Cheney with the blood clot in his leg today?
Yeah. Well, I think I'll give Cheney some credit that he's probably an order of magnitude smarter than Bush. But of course, that's not saying too much, is it? And so Cheney himself relies on a stable of advisors. And I actually wrote a piece about this a year or so ago for the American Prospect about who Cheney's staff is. And most of them come from this, well, they call it a cabal of neoconservatives who have fixed ideas about the role of the United States in bringing democracy and enlightenment to this benighted area. And so they themselves, I think, have very simplistic notions, not for lack of basic facts or knowledge, but because of ideological blinders. The Cheney people have a pretty, I think, ill-informed notion of how this part of the world works. And so that's why they thought, you know, well, we'll just send the army in there and it'll knock off Saddam and then we'll put the country back together and damn it, we'll get on with the next project.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think they expected, well, I guess now they themselves said, we didn't expect the kind of unraveling that occurred there.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, they've been remarkably unwilling to look at their own, ideological errors and assumptions. And so they don't admit any mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this package that Mother Jones put out is certainly not aimed at them, because this is not a question of facts or knowledge. This is a question of ideology.
Bob, I was going to suggest that we send a copy of the magazine over to the Oval Office so they can put it on that spot where Bush doesn't have any war plans for Iran. It's right above the drawer with all the signing statements.
War plans for Iran. I mean, you know, I think last time I was on your show, I said something about being an optimist about Iran.
You were, yes.
And I don't mean to say I told you so, but I do feel that with this new deal in North Korea that was announced a couple of weeks ago, and which drove the neoconservatives crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And now this apparent agreement to sit down and talk Turkey in Turkey with Iran,
mm-hmm.
That was announced just a few days ago. And, of course, there's going to be a meeting, I guess, the end of this week and then another one in April. It seems to me that the diplomats are winning over the war makers within the Bush administration. And
Bob, I'll be very happy for you to tell me any time I told you so, as long as it involves us not going into war in Iran. Let's take a break. I got to take a break.
It's too early to say.
I understand.
So.
We got to take a break, and you can tell me more. So, right after the break. Robert Dreyfus with us. Visit his website, robertdreyfus.com, Dreyfus. His most recent book is Devil's Game, How the U.S. Helped Unleash Fundamentalist Islam. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at our Monday afternoon traffic. And we're going to start off with a minor injury crash that is in Monterey. This would be a 17-mile drive at Carmel Way. And let's get the latest here. Looks like a vehicle, pickup truck ran into a telephone pole. The wires are down. The crash on the right-hand shoulder. Looks like Carmel PD on the scene. They're going to need PG&E to come out as well. So they need to replace the entire pole. So that's causing a bit of a slowdown in the area. Northbound Highway 1 at Munris, we do have a problem working there. This is a crash, and no other information on this one. Also want to take a look at southbound Highway 1, just after Highway 17 in Santa Cruz, getting reports of a stall. Don't know if it's a blocking lane. That one just coming into CHP. This support brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking the Caliphate. Our guest is Robert Dreyfus, a very busy, prolific investigative journalist. Again, his most recent book, Devil's Game, and he's got pieces in Rolling Stone, Mother Jones, Washington Monthly, The Nation, and, gosh, other places, too. American Prospect, he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we're talking also about this powerful piece. I'm not going to go through it line by line, but I want to recommend it to you in the current edition of Mother Jones magazine. That is the March-April issue. And it's the cover story, the Iraq Handbook for Dummies. And it's an excellent baseline primer on who's who, the different factions there, and some of the causes, some of the history, some of the costs to the United States. And it's really very fact-rich. And I think that it's a great way to catch up if you are confused when you hear the discussion fly by about this Sunni or that Shia. Bob, I wanted to return to what we were discussing before the break, which is the Bush's intentions toward Iran. And a story broke just about an hour and a half ago from the Associated Press. Iran seems to have at least temporarily halted the uranium enrichment program that's at the heart of its standoff with the UN Security Council. That's according to Mohammad al-Baradi, who is head of the UN International Atomic Energy Agency. Is this real?
Your
sense?
You know, it's too early to say if this particular suspension is real, but the way diplomacy works is everybody gets a face-saving way, you know, to say the other guy blinked. And
mm-hmm.
So you can conceive of a situation in which the United States says to Iran, okay, we'll agree to sit down and talk to you. And then maybe a couple of days later you can announce that you're suspending your nuclear thing. And that way it's not a precondition for talking, and we didn't force you to do it before we talked to you. And, you know, everyone seems to come out smelling like a rose. And a lot of other stuff has been going on behind the scenes. The foul president of Iran just made a visit to Saudi Arabia, where he mm-hmm. met the king, and
they held hands.
The king seems to have tried to entice the Iranians to come across the Gulf and to reach some kind of at least the beginnings of an accord there. They said they would work together to reduce tensions between Sunnis, which are, of course, what the Saudis are, and Shiites, which is what the Iranians are, not to mention that the Saudis are Arabs and the Iranians are Persians.
Right.
So maybe there's some, beginning of a package of diplomatic measures beginning to take shape here to pull everybody back from the brink. And it would be nice if in the process it all came together to try to help stabilize Iraq, too, and give Bush, in turn, a face-saving way to start, reducing the American presence there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Bush won't do it fast enough or greatly enough to satisfy anti-war critics.
Coming back to our last conversation, which was in Washington the last week of January, where you had some optimism that this diplomatic track might have an impact, are you more optimistic today, Bob?
I am. I mean, it's everything is still on a hair trigger, so that one, wrong move could set off some sort of escalating series of conflicts and so forth. But, I had a piece in my blog the other day, which I picked up from I can't remember where, that I think the London Times, that said that four or five U.S. generals would quit outright if the United States attacked Iran.
We reported that. Mm-hmm.
And this stuff is significant because the pressure not to attack Iran from the Democrats, who are saying, hey, you don't have the authority to do that, Mr. President, to the military saying, Mr. President, if you attack Iran, they're going to eat our breakfast in Iraq, where the Iranians have a lot of muscle to play around with, to the diplomats who were saying this would mess up everything all over the world. We'd be isolated, in spades once again. I mean, if you think Iraq was bad, attacking Iran out of the blue would devastate whatever's left of America's credibility. So, plus the fact that the president doesn't have an army left, so he can't exactly go invading. Maybe he could get away with Grenada again, but that's about it.
Hey, I've been there, and they all love Reagan. I couldn't believe it. They thought it was a wonderful episode. Bob, we're almost out of time here. I want to thank you for joining us, and I'd like to invite you back because I'm very curious about your article about an exit from Iraq and how you play out some of the scenarios there. So I'm going to read that, and then we'll call you and maybe have you on again next week.
That'd be great.
All right. Robert Dreyfuss. Visit his website, robertdreyfuss.com, and pick up Mother Jones to read this powerful primer on Iraq. Coming up next, Jackie Cabasso talks about expansion of our nuclear capabilities.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It was their first meeting on the campaign trail. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in Selma, Alabama, to commemorate the famous Civil Rights March. And it's been noted that Hillary at one point left her Yale accent at the door.
The words of James Cleveland's great freedom hymn. I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from.
And so it went. But, you know, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, so maybe we've gotten to the point where white people can try being black once in a while. And to be fair, we must note that somebody else left the Ivy League accent at the door. Here's Barack Obama talking to me last October.
I think there's a lot of the tensions have to do with those socioeconomic factors that can be closed if we move forward on some intelligent policies.
And here he is talking about his grandfather yesterday in Selma.
All his life, that's all he was a cook and a houseboy, and that's what they called him even when he was 60 years old. They called him a houseboy. Wouldn't call him by his last name. Call him by his first name. Sound familiar?
So you see, we all do it. We talk one way on the phone, another way in public, one way to our families, another way in school. But just the same, I would suggest that Hillary think twice about quoting spirituals. Because, you know, the voters see right through that.
The key is being authentic, right? And just not trying to pretend that you're something you're not.
Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Allen Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
When you look across this great land and ask yourself, what do we need more of? Would the answer ever be nuclear weapons or even nuclear weapons? Well, not for me, but that's just me. According to the Associated Press over the weekend, the Bush administration selected a design on Friday for a new generation of atomic warheads, taking a major step toward building the first new nuclear weapon since the end of the Cold War nearly two decades ago. The military and the Energy Department selected a design developed by the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, located near San Francisco, and that was over the competing design by their sister laboratory in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Both of these labs are owned by the University of California and operated under contract to the federal government. And there have been serious and severe security lapses at both facilities over the last few years, which led to a threat that the Energy Department would yank the contracts from both facilities. Well, that appears to have gone by the boards now as salivating over a new generation of nukes. They didn't have too many labs to choose from. I guess the University of Texas down there in Bush Country had been competing to take over these nefarious contracts. But, well, maybe we can find out more about that here in the coming half hour. Jacqueline Cabasso has been on our program many times before, executive director of the Western States Legal Foundation, and she is a longtime activist relating to the Lawrence Livermore Lab in San Francisco's East Bay. Jackie Cabasso, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Isn't it bizarre? Can you imagine that we need more nukes and that there would be some point of pride at the Livermore Lab that they beat Los Alamos for this dubious honor?
It's pretty bizarre. It's pretty Orwellian, but it's pretty consistent with their history. And what's even more bizarre is the argument that some of the people in the nuclear weapons establishment are making, that they actually need to build new nuclear weapons in order to reduce the number of existing nuclear weapons as a step towards nuclear disarmament. So, in other words, we're going to build new nuclear weapons in order to eliminate nuclear weapons. It's pretty crazy.
Well, and somehow you just can't take seriously the second half of that compound sentence.
No, certainly not. No, this is what this is basically, is I would say it's a pretty inevitable outcome of the way in which nuclear weapons have been dealt with, especially since the end of the Cold War, where in the mid-1990s, when the Clinton administration really had an opportunity with no enemies to, you know, no, this was pre the era of terrorism. Of course, there was terrorism in the world, but it was before it was a big issue. And what better opportunity would there have been in 1995 when the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty came up for renewal for the United States to say, now with the Cold War over, we are finally going to make good on our commitment under Article 6 of that treaty to end the arms race and to negotiate in good faith the elimination of our nuclear arsenals. We call on the other nuclear weapons states to join us, and this will be, you know, our legacy to the future. But they didn't do that. Instead, they made a decision in the 1994 Nuclear Posture Review to basically continue with the Cold War nuclear weapons business as usual. And then in 1995, made a decision to make a massive reinvestment in the nuclear weapons laboratories.
Jackie, we appear to be losing your cell phone signal there, so keep talking. Maybe it's going to return. Matt, you want to pick up that line and let me know when you get a good signal on Jackie Cabasso there. It is one of the vagaries of cell phone communications. She's very well informed, and as I mentioned, she has been an activist in opposition to the Lawrence Livermore Lab for many, many years and is quite conversant on these issues. And while we're waiting to reconnect with Jackie Cabasso, I'll open up the phone lines. If you'd like to talk about this issue, I welcome your comment or question. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372, and lines are available for you right now if you'd like to join in. I'll tell you a quick story. I was invited once to take a press tour of the Lawrence Livermore Lab, and I have to say it was bizarre because it was like going to a theme park or a museum or a place like that. where the detachment from what actually goes on there was astounding to me. So I show up there on a Saturday morning, and they've got a buffet, breakfast spread, and then they lead us around to the various buildings on this huge campus. And I vividly remember going into the place where they make the triggers. These are detonating devices that are used to create the chain reaction that ultimately detonates the nuclear explosion. And these were very nice people, these physicists and engineers who were there. And kind of like going through a computer lab or, you know, some sort of a video convention, these people were eager to show off the work that they do and the equipment that they use. And they were completely detached from the impact of the killing machinery that they create. And they were talking about, you know, how they could create triggers to set off a small device, you know, like a suitcase nuke or a bunker buster or something even, you know, more effective and lethal. And again, I just came away with the sense that their detachment scared the hell out of me. Jackie Cabasso, we got you back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. Cell phones are reliable, except when they're not. I was just telling a little story while I was waiting for you to come back, and I may have imposed this story on you in a previous encounter on the radio. But I went to the Livermore Lab for a press tour once. This was about 10 years ago. And I was just struck at how detached the engineers and physicists were from the true nature of their work.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge part of the problem. I had an experience maybe 7 or 8 years ago where I was asked to take a television crew from Hiroshima to the Livermore Lab, and it was a hassle to get them admitted, but they were able to go in and tour. I had to wait outside. And then when they came back, they were very shaken up because they had talked with a nuclear weapons scientist who happened to be one that I had encountered before, who told them that he went to work for Livermore because he knew that they would never use nuclear weapons. And he was talking to a crew from Hiroshima. It was unbelievable.
Wow. I've been to Hiroshima, and I made my own personal pilgrimage there because I wanted to see Ground Zero. And to the Japanese credit, they have maintained a memorial there and give good explanations about what was there and the level of devastation that we imposed on that city. And I'll never forget it. I mean,
yes.
It scars the memory in many ways.
Yes, it does. I really wish that more Americans, and especially our elected representatives, or in some cases appointed representatives, would go there and have that experience, because you can't help but contemplate what happened there. And for those who don't know, maybe you're too young to know, what happened is that without any warning, out of the blue, there were some planes overhead. They knew it was wartime. They were expecting to be bombed with conventional bombs, the Japanese. But without any warning, there was this flash in the sky that was brighter than anything anybody had ever seen. People who tell the stories, they could not comprehend what had happened, because within minutes, everything was gone. Everything was flattened. There were corpses everywhere, or in some cases, people were totally vaporized. Hours later, they were like the Walking Dead, people with their skin hanging off their bodies, and within hours and days, they experienced acute radiation sickness and were dying. People rushed into the river to try to get water, and the river was literally clogged with bloated, blackened corpses. I mean, it's really, really horrible. And one bomb, one small, untested, primitive atomic bomb killed 140,000 people. And that bomb, compared to today's nuclear weapons, compared to these reliable replacement warheads that they want to build, was maybe a tenth of the yield. And there are 1,600 approximately of those of the W-76, the submarine launched ballistic missiles, which is what the reliable replacement warhead is supposed to replace. There are 1,600 of those deployed right now on hair trigger alert. Each one is 100 kilotons.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know that we're living in a reality, in a world on a daily basis where the United States and Russia have thousands of these extremely deadly weapons pointed at each other on hair trigger alert. And in the United States, we have a policy in which the threatened first use of those weapons is officially considered to be the cornerstone of our national security policy.
And Jackie, that history, that reality is compounded and contradicted too often by our posture, which is we are publicly stating that we're about to develop a new generation of nuclear weapons while we tell Iran and North Korea they can't have them, and we tell India, yeah, you're okay, you can have them. And I don't know who set us up as the nuke god in this world, but that's a role we're playing.
Well, the mayor of Hiroshima in 1995 told the International Court of Justice in The Hague that history is written by the victors, and thus the heinous massacre that was Hiroshima has been handed down to us as a perfectly justified act of war. And I think that's the crux of the matter. I think that in order to get out of this nuclear conundrum, which is getting worse, and we can talk about that, it's getting worse in part for the reasons that you just talked about, I don't think we can ever get out of it until our government takes it upon itself to acknowledge what it did. It's the only country so far, thank God, that has ever used nuclear weapons in war, to acknowledge it, to apologize, I think, would be what's appropriate, and to say this must never happen again, and it's up to us to lead the world back from the nuclear brink.
Yeah.
Because U.S. policy now has changed over, has evolved, and this happened under the Clinton administration, from a policy of non-proliferation, that is working to stop the spread of nuclear weapons to more countries, to a policy of counter-proliferation, which includes, among other things, threatening to use nuclear weapons against countries that may threaten either the United States or its allies, not only with nuclear weapons, but also with chemical or biological weapons. And so that's one of a number of ways in which the threshold to U.S. nuclear weapons use has been lowered.
Well, and at minimum, it's hypocritical for us to possess them, threaten to use them. We've had rumors that the Pentagon had a war plan for an attack on Iran that would use an American nuclear bunker buster weapon for the purpose of trying to destroy any nuclear capability developed by Iran. And it seems that the deep irony of an act, even to contemplate it, is completely lost on these jokers.
Yeah, well, let me say that even before that, in the run-up to the U.S. attack on Iraq, which, if you know, you recall, also was initially premised on the false claim that Iraq had a nuclear weapons program, the U.S. had drawn up contingency plans to use nuclear weapons in Iraq. So this is part of a continuing pattern, and as you say, the level of hypocrisy is staggering.
Yes, it is.
As somebody said recently, and I can't remember who, if you name three countries as an axis of evil, we have Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, countries which either have nothing to do with each other or hate each other's guts, you know, historically, and you destroy one of them, you're certainly giving the other two quite an incentive to want to develop nuclear weapons to protect themselves.
We got to take a break, and we'll return with Jacqueline Cabasso. She's Executive Director of the Western States Legal Foundation. If you have a question or a comment, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
A
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 AM, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hold on. And let's take a look at traffic and the very latest. Well, let's give you an update. And I can tell you that CHP is reporting a problem in Monterey. And as our computer shuts down here, so that's not good. But that's live radio. And this would be northbound one at Mundris. This is a vehicle hit a pole. And it looks like the pole has been knocked down. PG&E crews are actually on scene at this point. And it looks like it is blocking a lane. So be advised, northbound one right at Mundris. Highway 9 at Highland Park, that is in the Santa Cruz area. We're getting word of a problem there. And it looks like this possibly could be a two-vehicle crash. No injuries, according to CHP at this point. And we'll get more information by our next report. Also want to tell you about Highway 17. Everything looking good in either direction, so that certainly is some good news. And this report brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And I always found this unusual, but the power rock, corporate rock band from Canada called Rush, lead singer Geddy Lee, they put out an album in the mid-80s called Power Windows, which includes this song about the Manhattan Project.
Imagine the time when it all began. In the dying days of a war, a weapon that would settle the score. Whoever found it first would be sure to do their worst. We always had before. Imagine a man where it all began. A scientist facing a foe in each nation. Always eager to explore.
So if you ever see that one in the used bin at your favorite CD store, it's Rush. It's called Power Windows. We continue our conversation with Jacqueline Cabasso, Executive Director of the Western States Legal Foundation. We're talking about Friday's announcement that the Lawrence Livermore Lab, operated by the University of California, has received the green light to develop a new generation of nuclear weapons. And Jackie Cabasso, have we dismissed all the issues about security both at Livermore and at Los Alamos in New Mexico?
Well, no, we haven't. And Los Alamos in New Mexico is under especially heavy scrutiny right now for a whole seemingly endless series of what appear to be security lapses, hard drives going missing and things like that. But, you know, I mean, I'm, in a sense, it's important because it shows how vulnerable the labs are, but I think that sometimes those security issues can be kind of distractions from the real security issues, which is the continuing design and development of nuclear weapons.
Understood. And I'm conflicted, I'll be honest with you. As a California taxpayer, as somebody who has great respect for the University of California system, it pains me to see my money, and I guess somehow my permission was given, but to see this public education institution used to create weapons of mass destruction. And in some ways, when the security issues came up and it looked like UC might lose their contracts to run these labs, I was okay with it, except to think that Texas might get them.
Right. Well, actually, let me just add a little bit of information to that, because what happened is that the Los Alamos contract was up first.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened the bidding for the first time in the lab's almost 60-year history. And they actually awarded it to a consortium of the University of California and Bechtel Corporation and some other corporations.
Oh, that's right.
So now it's partially privatized, and it's sort of the worst of both worlds now. And the Livermore bid is now open, and I expect that the same consortium is going to win. So, I mean,
the main role of the
university is to provide a fig leaf of academic respectability to the work that goes on in the labs and to help recruit people. And let me just add this, because it's something that's not well known.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the National Nuclear Security Administration, that's the part of the Department of Energy that runs the labs, part of their program to maintain the nuclear weapons complex is a very aggressive recruiting program in universities around the country, and they have it has a new name now, which I'm spacing out on. They change the acronyms every few years, but the Academic Strategic Alliance Partnership, where they are giving grants to universities to partner with the labs so that students can get familiar with the labs and work there and then go to work there when they graduate. So it's a whole system. It's really part of the military-industrial complex. It's the military-industrial academic complex.
Well, I have a stepson who's going for a Ph.D. in electrical engineering, and one of the outfits trying to recruit him is DOD, the Department of Defense.
Yeah, sure.
And I've tried to talk him out of it.
Well, we have it's kind of, it's invisible, but it's all around us. We live in a very heavily militarized economy.
Yeah.
Also,
Jackie, I just want to briefly point out, with Bechtel entering into that partnership with UC, it was Bechtel Corporation that built the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant for Pacific Gas and Electric on the Hosgree Fault. And one of the whole things that rippled through and caused the electrical crisis here in this state in the first part of this decade was caused by Diablo Canyon. They installed the first version of the cooling system 100% backwards. It's like everybody had mirrors on their hard hats. And they had to go in and rip it out and rebuild it. And that's the kind of brilliance that Bechtel has brought to nuclear engineering in the past.
Right. I remember that well. But let me remind you of another aspect of that, which is something kind of hopeful, which is that at the time when the whistleblower came out, we were engaged in massive nonviolent protests at the power plant. I was involved in those. And there were so many protesters, and there was such sustained protest and sustained media coverage that engineer had the political cover he needed to come out, and that stopped the plant from going online for 4 years. So we should also remember in these dismal times the power of protest.
So what do you suggest for people who don't like the idea of awarding this contract to the Livermore Labs?
One way to intervene, although I have to tell you it's not too effective, but it is an eye-opener, is to go to the Regents of the University of California meetings, which are held quarterly at different campuses, and sign up to speak during the public comment periods.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find out exactly what an autocratic imperial system regions really are.
I've talked with two different regents, and the case they make is that the labs bring great brains to the University of California. And I said, well, I'm glad to have the brains, but can't we put them to work on something a little more positive? Jackie, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for your work, and thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Can
we'll
I give you my website?
Oh, go.
Yes. We actually want to give you two websites. Our main website is www.wslfweb.org, and we have a new book coming out called Nuclear Disorder or Cooperative Security, U.S. Weapons of Terror, the Global Proliferation Crisis and Paths to Peace. And the website for that is www.wmdreport.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. How far does this go, and why wasn't anything done about it? Those were the prevailing questions at today's hearing on bad treatment at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
After hearing testimony from wounded soldiers about appalling living conditions and weeks spent waiting for follow-up care, members of Congress had little patience with claims from top generals that they never knew about this and now are sorry. The Army Chief of Staff, General Peter Schoomaker, was questioned by Democrat Henry Waxman.
Why should we feel confident this is going to change?
Well, because we're going to change it.
You should have changed it before, but it didn't happen.
Well, there's no question.
They mean it was not.
You know, there's no argument with you about what should have happened.
Waxman says there's no doubt these problems exist at other military hospitals, too. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A recent trip around the world might be responsible for Vice President Dick Cheney's trip to the doctor today. He had pain in his left calf, and it turns out he has a blood clot.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. It's not known for sure what caused the clot in Cheney's leg, but prolonged air travel is thought to be a factor. Cheney returned last week from a 10-day round-the-world trip with stops in Japan, Australia, Pakistan, and Afghanistan. In all, his time in the air totaled 65 hours. The clots are associated with long periods of immobility, as happens on an airplane, even on Air Force Two.
The clot could be dangerous if it travels. The vice president is on blood-thinning medicine to dissolve it. Walmart spokeswoman Mona Williams says a system technician has been fired and two managers face disciplinary action because phone calls between the company's public relations staff and a New York Times reporter were recorded.
I can't really speak for why the associate did this. We did get some preliminary information and some early interviews, but now that this is part of a federal investigation, we can't really comment beyond that.
Federal prosecutors say they're looking at whether any laws were violated. Walmart has apologized to the Times. Police say the crash of a small plane in Bedford, Indiana today may have been deliberate. Pilot Eric Johnson and his 8-year-old daughter Emily died when the plane slammed into the home of Johnson's in-laws. No one in the house was hurt. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive tells us there's been a big jump in the number of teenagers having surgery to lose weight.
It's still rare. Out of 177,000 stomach stapling surgeries in the U.S. last year, only about 1,000 patients were teenagers. But the number of teens having that surgery has tripled compared with a few years ago. According to the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, it's a little less risky for younger patients. Out of every 1,000 people having gastric bypass, about 50 have major complications. About 2 out of every 1,000 die. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Another volatile day on Wall Street. The Dow ended up 63 points lower at 12,050. The NASDAQ fell another 27 points. This is CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem, maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Get the good stuff!
One of the most stylish accessories available at your local Napa Auto Parts store isn't for your car. It's for your head. It's the all-new 2007 Napa Racing Hat, and it can be yours free. Just bring any old hat to your local Napa Auto Parts store, and you can swap it for this cool new Napa Racing Hat. Hats are free with any purchase at participating Napa locations while supplies last. Limit one per customer. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Hundreds of JetBlue passengers were stranded for hours on grounded planes during the Valentine's Day storm. That was about as bad as it gets, but it happens. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has more.
If you've gotten trapped on an airliner, delayed, sitting on board for 2 hours, five, or maybe more, this statistic may not ease your pain, but the government says chances of such a delay were only 0.1% last year. 7,400 out of 7 million flights had such a problem. The monthly stats show a slightly worse on-time performance this January compared to last. Hawaiian was best, 92% of flights on time. SkyWest was worst, 65% on time.
Citing a policy against accepting money from controversial sources, Canada's Breast Cancer Society turned down a donation from Dancers for Cancer. But that didn't stop the fundraiser in Vancouver last night. About two dozen strippers raised more than $7,000 as they raised the temperature in the room. The money will go to another breast cancer group. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality documents. Now, get a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase of full-service black and white or color copies. Office Depot can print and copy almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
See store for details.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Will you join me? You know the rules. I take calls on any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and places that can no longer hear the sound of my voice on their AM radio dial. Wherever you are, you can call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 388-573-8372. It's the Free Speech Zone, and I want to hear from you.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road to hell.
And there's so much to talk about. Ann Coulter's bimbo eruption and reaction to it. Seems like some crocodile tears falling from a few right-wing eyes. But maybe finally conservatives will reject the hateful public pronouncements of Ann Coulter. And that would be a good thing for America. So if you're a conservative and you don't like having Ann Coulter used as your representative, your icon, feel free to call and separate yourself. I'd be delighted to talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. I want to invite some longtime listeners who I haven't heard from recently, like Dennis in King City and our friend John in Brookings, Oregon, to check in, because I've got lines available, and I would love to hear from you on the program today. And speaking of Oregon, one of the subjects I'd like our Oregonians to talk about is the threat to public libraries in Jackson County. Now, Jackson County is hard by the California border. It's the first county when you come up I-5, and you survive the trip through Redding and Weed. And then when you cross the Oregon border, you're in Jackson County. And we have listeners in that area who tune into KGOE in Eureka. And it's possible, I think, in some parts of the county to pick up KBBR from Coos Bay. So if this is affecting you, I'd like to hear from you because it's an interesting story behind it. There used to be money that came from Washington to this area of Oregon that was hard hit by cutbacks in logging over the last 10 or 15 years. I saw a figure here. There's a lengthy article about this in Sunday's San Francisco Chronicle. In 1954, Jackson County, Oregon, had 91 large-scale logging operations. Today, there is a single sawmill that survives. And as a result, at one point, the feds were bailing out this part of Oregon by sending millions of dollars to help offset the loss of income from the employment and the tax base of that industry. And for some reason, somebody in Washington forgot to renew that funding. And as a result, Jackson County's on its knees, and they are threatening to close all 15 of their public libraries, including one in Talent. It says the Talent Branch Library. I guess that's in the town of Talent. And it's a new building. It just opened last week. And it may have to close as soon as April 7th, just a month away, if no bailout takes place. So I'd like to hear from you if you are affected by this. I think libraries are very important. Many people who can't afford internet access or computers at home now use libraries to get their information, to use the internet, and I think it's a vital function. I think that we have a right to libraries. I'm not sure I'd put it in the Bill of Rights, but I think we do. And so I deplore that. We saw last year, actually it was in 2005, the threats to close the library in Salinas, California, that were met by an outpouring of local support, and all kinds of writers came to the steps of the library for readings, and ultimately that decision was rolled back. So I hope that's the case in Jackson County, Oregon. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to weigh in on that, 888-573-8372. If you want to talk about Ann Coulter, that's fine. We still don't have room for commentary on Anna Nicole Smith, what's going to happen to her baby, and I'm passing on Britney Spears, too. But a bimbo like Ann Coulter, who plays in the political arena, well, I'm willing to make an exception on this program for her. 888-5, Peter B. One item that I didn't get to last week that I wanted to mention that I think is quite significant was brought to my attention by a former senator from Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, a liberal Republican who was bounced last November, wrote an op-ed in last Thursday's New York Times. And he reminded me, and hopefully you, that at the time that John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and so many other Democratic senators voted for the authorization to use military force in Iraq, there was a much better measure that they didn't support. It was called the Levin Amendment. You know who it's for, Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan. And his amendment required United Nations approval before force could be authorized on the part of U.S. military personnel. Chafee writes here, it was unambiguous and compatible with international law. Acutely cognizant of the dangers of the time and the reality that diplomatic options could at some point be exhausted, Levin wrote an amendment that was nimble. It affirmed that Congress would stand at the ready to reconsider the use of force if, in the judgment of the President, a United Nations resolution was not promptly adopted or enforced. Ceding no rights or sovereignty to an international body, the amendment explicitly avowed America's right to defend itself, and it maintained congressional authority over that decision instead of giving the president a blank check. Now get this. The Levin Amendment was defeated by a vote of 75 to 24. Think back. It was October of 2002. The Iraq War Resolution was approved 77 to 23. So 75 senators voted against the Levin Amendment and then turned around and were joined by two others who voted for the resolution to go to war. And when you hear any of these people, including John Edwards and John Kerry, who to their credit have apologized for the mistake they made in October 2002, remember, they had a choice, and they didn't take it. Let's go to your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Chris joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Thank you for calling my program.
Well, you know, I've called a couple times that I was catching you on Nova M Radio, and I kept hearing where you'd be gone and tune in today, and sure enough, you're not there, but a little internet searching and gotcha. So I'm just glad that you're still around, and we don't have any good progressive radio here in North Carolina. Do a search, and we're lost out here, so we're just glad you folks from California and Phoenix and all that actually keep on talking. But I want to mention about the, well, I was listening to you on the phone here, about the libraries. I want to just mention real fast, take your kids to a library, because it's something about picking up an actual book, seeing true photographs, and the words that were written, be it 100 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. Kids just will sit there. It's something they can get that the internet's great. I use it every day, but libraries are precious. We have to have them probably more than we ever had, and I just hate whenever I hear that a library may be closing.
Yeah. Well, and in this part of Oregon, I think it's especially important because this is a fairly rural portion in South Oregon. Medford is the biggest city there. And, you know, there are a lot of smart people who choose to live in either small towns or, you know, out in the country. And I believe they deserve the same access to information and the pleasure and entertainment you can get from books as people in the big urban areas do.
Yeah. Are you on, real quick, fine, let's go, but
sure.
How close are you to Santa Cruz area?
Well, I'm based in San Francisco. Our flagship station covers Santa Cruz. It's KRXA, which is in Monterey, covers Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. And that's probably where you're logged on to pick up the stream right now at KRXA540.com.
Yeah, and, well, I'm native Californian, born in Sacramento.
Oh, great.
A long time ago. And I was just, I tell everyone, Santa Cruz Boardwalk had the best licorice in the world. I just want to know if it's still there, and do you know that?
The Boardwalk is still there. I'm not a big licorice guy, so I haven't sampled that recently, but the Boardwalk is alive and well.
Thank you, Peter, man. Great to hear you, and I'm going to keep tuning in each day.
I really appreciate that, Chris. You're setting a high bar for the rest of our former listeners in Phoenix. They can log on, too. Go to peterbcollins.com. There's a link there to our archives and the live stream. And we're working to expand that streaming capacity. I'll keep you posted. More of your calls coming up in just a moment here in the Free Speech Zone. The lines are lighting up. That makes me feel good. We'll take your calls as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the early evening, I should say. And let's look at Ben Lomond, Highway 9 southbound at Highland Boulevard. We have a vehicle that was damaged by plywood that fell off another vehicle. That always is unpleasant news, especially for that motorist. And a CHP now on the way to the scene there. Santa Cruz County, Summit Road at Loma Prieta. We have a solo vehicle blocking one of the lanes. Looks like it's stalled there, and the CHP is there as well. Also want to tell you that we do have a new problem coming in from CHP. This one just being reported. The Highway 9 in Highland Park. We have a crash there, and no other details at this point, unfortunately. This report brought to you by Welch's Grape Juice. A diet rich in natural antioxidants is good for your heart, and Welch's 100% grape juice is loaded with them. Help protect your heart. Drink Welch's 100% grape juice.
Put it this way. Money trumps peace.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. A listener-submitted song arrived over the weekend.
You say you got a coalition. Well, you don't. We're alone against the world. You tell us to complete the mission. Well, you know. Where's that banner you unfurl? Don't you know we should be getting out? Cause it's never gonna be alright. No, it's never gonna be alright. This was never meant to be our fight. You say we need to bring more.
That's Stormin' Norman. He took the Beatles' Revolution and turned it into Coalition. Norman, I give you an A-plus for concept, but pales in comparison to the original.
You say you want a revolution. Well,
And lordy, lordy, he has returned. Dennis from King City. Long time, Dennis. How are you?
Yes, sir. Peter B. Fine. I've been sick for a little while.
Oh, no.
And then we lose you here in King City. I got a CC radio.
Uh-huh.
But I lose you about 4:30, and today I got you back a little bit better.
Well, it's a sunny day. This is a tricky time of year for these AM stations that have to power down at sunset. And so, yeah, it does happen. But next week we go on daylight time.
Yeah.
And that should help.
Right. Well, back to the old way when I can remember when you first started out. Boy, if you didn't get a call, I'd call in.
Yeah. You were there and covering my back. I really appreciate that.
You betcha. And, you know, I'm stumbling a little bit here, but...
That's all right.
You had... You played that little bit where peace, money trumps peace.
Right.
He could hardly get it out of his lying lips on when he was saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to hear that again?
Yeah. Let's hear it again. That should be played over and over and over again.
Put it this way: money trumps peace.
Unbelievable. Here is the ultimate liar, the forked tongue from Texas. Unbelievable.
So what was traipsing through his empty mind? Was it, Daddy's going to be really upset if I mention the Carlisle Group?
Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable. This thing is pretty simple when you think about it. This guy, we could say he's a stupid, and we could say he's a moron, and this and that. But you think about what he's done.
He's had his way with us.
He's got his way. He took us to a war. He's paid off his big buddies, his big contributors. He's given a tax break to the rich. He's breaking Social Security. He's broken Medicare. He hates them both. He's going to win on those. He got reelected. His legacy, I don't know what will happen on that one. But I'm telling you, this guy is the most dangerous guy president we've ever had. And Cheney, it was like the perfect storm when those two guys got together.
Well, you're right. From their perspective, they've achieved a lot.
Absolutely. Now, Peter, the reason I called is because, you know, you asked me to, and I appreciate that. And I do want to call again, but tell me what the heck is going on. Why did you lose your prime time in Phoenix? When I heard you in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get through because I said, man, those people were just crying for a progressive voice,
yeah.
And they got one of the better ones. And all of a sudden, your time has changed.
Well, what happened, there was a management shuffle there, and this happens in radio. And it turned out that the senior people, the Drobnys, who own, they don't actually own the radio station, but they control it, and they own Nova M, they appeared to have no knowledge of what I was doing in Phoenix and how hard we had worked to build an audience there. And they made plans to do something else in my time period, which doesn't make sense to me, but that's kind of how it evolved. And once they had their high heels dug in, it didn't appear that they wanted to listen to what the audience had to say.
You had some great callers, and you can see the demand, the pent-up demand to listen to what you had to say.
Right.
And
yeah.
You're hearing this from Ed Schulz, Stephanie. You're hearing they're changing the times because, Peter, I don't care. We're only, a couple years old to speak of, and we made a difference this last election. I really think we did.
Yes, we did.
And all we did was get into the game, but now we got to score points, and they know we're working, and they're killing us. So I'm telling you,
better
wake up.
And I have to say, Dennis, that the killing and the sniping is occurring progressive to progressive. It's not like Rush Limbaugh is taking pot shots and you know, people are going down. Unfortunately, this is coming from people on who say they're on our side of the aisle. I got to run to another call, Dennis, but it's great to hear, and you keep calling, okay?
I'll be calling you again. Thank
all
you.
All right, I appreciate that. Billy in Capitola's got my back. Hey, Billy.
You bet I do, but I got to tell you, Dennis calls my show.
He does, good.
Yeah, well, he knows I need more support than you.
And, Billy, I want you to know that I made a special point on Super Bowl Sunday of saying, wow, if Billy's working, he needs a caller.
Did you really?
And I called in to discover that you played a tape that day.
Well, don't you think I made the right decision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was on Super Bowl Sunday once on KGO, and nobody called. It was
KGO?
Yeah.
Well, that's saying something.
Oh, man, it was disaster radio without any EBS intervention.
Well, you know, how do you do, you know, just let's talk about hosting a radio show just for a minute.
Go ahead.
I'm getting too frustrated already. I just cannot believe that we still are putting up with this guy. that no one's made a citizen's arrest. I'm getting frustrated. I sort of feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. How do you do it after all this time?
Well, consider the alternatives, Billy. If I didn't have this outlet, if I couldn't vent and express my opinions, I'd be really frustrated, and my dear Kathy would probably have...
not the wife, isn't it always?
Anesthetized me by now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my wife thought that I'd be better off if I stopped yelling at the television screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I take control of the TiVo in the evenings, and... at a certain point, Kathy looks at me and says, haven't they said all this before, and isn't it all the same?
Yeah.
And I usually say, oh, no, honey, you know, it's all different today. But from her point of view, it is the same drumbeat too much of the time. Hey, Billy, I got to run to a break. You know how that goes.
I do know how that works. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for your call. Glad you're out there. 888-5-PETER-B. If you haven't checked in recently, do your duty. Call the Peter B. Collins Show now. 888-573-8372.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Free Speech Zone. Lines are open for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'll be happy, not so blue. Liar, liar. Castaways, about 1962, if I remember that correctly. And that's our lead-in because John Amato joins us now, the proprietor of the website crooksandliars.com. Hello, John.
Hey, Peter B., how are you?
I'm doing okay today because, when Ann Coulter has one of those bimbo eruptions, there's a kind of sense of satisfaction that she kind of hoists herself on her own petard.
Yes, she's quite the diva in that respect. You know, unfortunately, our media is so brain dead that the worse she gets, the more they want her back on the air.
Yeah. Well, at Media Matters today, they had a headline that said that Ann Coulter is rewarded for her slur by being invited on CNN before the Today Show could get her.
Yeah, I know. She's supposed to be on the Paula Zahn show. Now, actually, I'm not sure if she actually showed up. I'm going to go and review that, but someone had emailed me and said they didn't think she was actually going to show up on the show, so I'm not sure if she did.
Well, there was a stain on her little black dress, and, of course, she only has one. Now, first of all, we've got some powerful video, and we're going to play the powerful audio here in a moment from Crooks and Liars. But give us the VC elevator pitch. What is the mission statement for crooksandliars.com?
Well, part of what I do is to expose, obviously, our horrendous media and the way that they promote these right-wing themes as though they're actual news. So I like to expose the media in all their glory and the way that, per se, let's say that they didn't do their job in the run-up to the war in Iraq and how they've really fallen down on the job for so long, and it's only been recently that they've started to wake up, maybe because, you know, President Bush's numbers are so low and the Democrats took the Congress. But so that's a big, big mission statement for my site, which is to highlight or put the flashlight on our own media.
Yeah. Well, and you have assigned one of your associates, Silent Patriot, it looks like, to suffer through the new Fox alleged comedy show, the Fox News show on Sunday nights called the Half Hour News Hour. Do you offer combat pay for that?
Well, you know, I actually had to watch Dennis Miller, so I had to, you know, pass that on to Silent Patriot, and he was he was up to the task.
Uh-huh. Well, last night it's interesting because I was flipping around the dial during that hour. I watched a couple of stories on 60 Minutes where they were turning the fearometer up with each subsequent package, and I got tired of that. I just wasn't scared enough to continue. And so I was flipping around, and I thought, oh, yeah, that thing's on Fox. Oh, it's over. So I didn't go to witness even a piece of it last night. But I did stumble upon, and I don't usually watch 60 Minutes either, but Dateline NBC is on opposite. And they have this guy, Walsh, the guy who does the Predator stuff. Is it Chris Walsh?
It's not John Walsh.
John Walsh is America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted.
Chris something is the guy at NBC. He's a tall guy with big hair, and he's a great moralist because he's the one who busts up these, guys who try to date a 14-year-old over the internet.
Oh, that whole series about the child predators.
Right. Well, last night he was going through Paris Hilton's laundry or a dumpster or something like that. And it was just so tawdry and tedious. I couldn't stand it, and I had to turn it off.
You know, it's really frustrating when you look at we'll just talk even now. You're talking about NBC, and when we talk about cable, the endless shows of no importance that get tremendous amounts of coverage. I mean, we just talk about the Anna Nicole whole, I mean, it's like hours and hours and hours of coverage on something that's meaningless to what's really important in the country. And again, it's what I highlight, and it's really frustrating. And then we wonder why George Bush gets elected a second time.
Yeah. No, it's stunning. On this program, we have room for a lot of silly things, but I have no time to talk about Anna Nicole's cadaver, what's going to happen to her baby, or anything to do with Britney Spears. I simply feel that it's beneath us to waste time talking about that. Chris Hansen is the guy's name.
Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll throw up a post, like I'll put a picture of Britney Spears and go, I want to make sure you're getting all the relevant news. And I'll go, she shaved her head. Okay, next. You know, I mean, it's really frustrating when you see as our culture, and they talk about our culture in decline, and then you see how our media treats the culture, and it's a slap in the face to all of America.
Yeah, it really is. Now, John Amato is with us from crooksandliars.com. If you've never been to that site, make a point to do it tonight. I would skip any primetime TV show and spend half an hour at CNL because you'll find things far more entertaining. And the subtext, of course, is significant. It helps you kind of evaluate what's important and what's not based on what's not being presented by our media. So set us up for this package. This is a couple of snippets from the incredible comedy team. I mean, Rowan and Martin would roll over in their grave to see Limbaugh and Coulter.
Yeah, I mean, most people know about the show 24 and Joel Surnow, the creator, who is, by all accounts, we'll call him a right-wing loon, and we all know. I mean, the show is so far gone with torture that they actually had a press release where they were going to tone down the torture in a TV show. And so Mr. Surnow thinks now that he can be a comedian, and he had pitched a sort of a counter to the Daily Show because they believe it's a, you know, liberal show to make fun of conservatives. And so he pitched an idea, you know what, we'll do the opposite. We'll do a comedy show like the Daily Show that will now make fun of liberals, which basically is what Fox News does on a daily basis anyway.
You got that right, John.
So that's the setup to the show, and they I think commissioned two half-hour episodes, and then they were going to make a decision to see if they were going to keep it up. And if we went with actual content value, the show would not be picked up. But I highly doubt that they'll cancel it because, again, since their mission statement is to attack Democrats and liberals every chance they get, this is just another example of where they can have more hate, more racism permeate the air.
So they only produced two?
They only have done two so far, and I believe that I haven't heard or haven't seen, maybe one of your readers have, I haven't seen a confirmation that they're going to continue with the show yet.
All right. So here's a video that you can see at Crooks and Liars, and we'll play the audio for you right now. And these people need no introduction, but they could use some hard time at Gitmo, Rush Limbaugh, and Coulter.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President and Vice President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans.
Megan Ditto.
Thank you.
Gosh, the laugh track rolls from the start.
We did the first 100 days of our administration executing the office flawlessly. Zero mistakes. Well, let's take a look at our report card so far. I have it right here. What do you know? Straight A's. We've excelled in every conceivable area. Employment, 100%. Inflation, zero.
And tell them about that foreign stuff.
Oh, yeah. Peace between the Israelis and Palestinians. Bin Laden, dead. Al-Qaeda, rolled up. North Korea, no more nukes.
And?
Oh, yeah, right. The one they said couldn't be done, Britney Spears is wearing panties again.
America, thank you.
Oh, it wasn't easy. Anyway, now that America's back on track, I will be taking a much-deserved vacation. In my absence, Vice President Coulter here will be the leader of the free world. I'll see you in about a month, Madam Vice President. Our new doctor of democracy will be out there on the golf course. If you need anything, call Secretary of State Drudge. He'll handle whatever you need.
Cool.
So she's picking up the phone now.
Hello, Pentagon.
This is Acting President Coulter. Are there any countries we haven't invaded yet? Canada.
So that's what passes us for humor on the Fox News Channel now. And have you commissioned any out conservatives, John, to watch this and see if they actually laugh?
Well, you know, it's interesting because on a lot of right-wing blogs, they actually have commented on it, and they are embarrassed by the content. I mean, they can't believe how bad it is, and they have said it. So it's really reaching, you know, nobody when the Michelle Malkins pan it. I mean, if you can't get her to say it's fun, you've lost it.
Now, did she give it a double boo frickin' who?
Oh, yes, yeah, she did. I mean, it's just so bad. I mean, when you listen to this skit, I mean, it's actually an indictment on the Bush administration, because everything they're getting A's on, I mean, the Bush administration's gotten, you know, F's on, so it's not funny.
And to mention Bin Laden, and Limbaugh got him, but Bush didn't, and that's conservative yucks?
It just doesn't make any sense. It never will make any sense. They're not funny people. You know, and it's strange because, you know, we talk about liberals and Democrats and conservatives, and I mean, we're all people and we all laugh at humor, but for some reason, the conservatives that are in the, you know, that are in the business of making pop culture just cannot handle humor. I mean, it's just as simple as that. When again, your main comedian is Dennis Miller, who just, I mean, he's, you know, he's gone, and the only play he gets now, he does a segment on Hannity Combs, which is supposed to be called The Real Free Speech, and it's as obnoxious and unintelligible of a segment as when he was on trying to do Monday Night Football.
Now, speaking of free speech, has Bill Maher ever been able to claim his time on the CBS Evening News and Shoes with Katie Couric?
I don't think so.
Because he wanted to talk about God or the absence thereof, and CBS said, well, you know, speech, but it's not that free.
Right. It's you know, it's funny because I was asked myself to do that free speech segment, and when I said, okay, I'll consider it, they said, yeah, so draw us up three ideas that you have. Now, if it's free speech, why am I supposed to draw up not one but three ideas and then submit them for approval? That's not free speech.
Well, it's free. They weren't charging you.
Well, I'm doing it for free. But, you know, it's just, it's amazing. I mean, first of all, I know people at CBS that absolutely hate that segment because they feel that that time slot is hard news. It's 30 minutes or 23 minutes of hard news, and there should be no room for some puff piece of 2 minutes wasted on someone just giving some opinion. And so there's a lot of people at CBS News that I know for a fact that are not happy with that whole segment.
Well, and Katie's caught up with the ratings record that it took Dan Rather years to generate. She's number three.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'd give her the benefit of the doubt and say go for it. But it's a tough business. And I guess they just tried to accommodate her and give her a shot at maybe coloring the news the way that she might be more comfortable with it. But again, it's a hard news 30 minutes. This is where CBS gets to tell the world what's really happening in the world. And having Rush Limbaugh open up the first free speech segment that CBS had was just an affront, because first of all, here's a guy who speaks to 20 million people, you know, a week, and has 3 hours of speech that he talks every day. What is he doing on CBS News? And it was just such a way to pander to the conservative base to try to get people to watch her.
Yep, and they're all looking at Fox. That's what propels the networks to do that kind of trick. Hey, John, I just got one question before I let you go.
Sure.
And that is, has Crooks and Liars ever had any problems with the videos that you post and the alleged copyright holders trying to crack down on you?
No, the way I do it, I'm covered under First Amendment, and so I am completely clear. And what's interesting is over a period of time now, the networks all love me, or love Crooks and Liars, not me, and they realize that it's just great promotion. I've actually you know, shows have gone up in the ratings that we've focused on. And they realize, as other networks are, you know, the blogosphere is big, it's vibrant, it's a new medium, and it's also an outlet for public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Stop shutting it down. And so I get mail tips from networks. They send me transcripts. I mean, they don't send me the videos, but it's all okay with them.
All right. And if Surgeon Larry called to make you a billionaire?
Let's hope.
Okay. John, great to talk to you. Thanks for doing what you do.
I'm here. I'll be on anytime you need me.
All right. Great. John Amato. Visit the website, crooksandliars.com. Spell out A-N-D, and you got it. More ahead in the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open if you want to join me. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Have you seen the Adam's apple on that guy? I mean, you know, I've got nothing against transsexuals, okay? When you are a transsexual posing as a right-wing Republican woman attacking heterosexual Democrats, accusing them of being gay when in no way are they, you know, there's some hypocrisy here. And we all know about the hypocritical Republicans. Remember Mark Foley?
I'm having some hypocritical whiplash just hearing you describe that.
I know. But okay, maybe, you know, I know there is a definite rumor going around that Ann Coulter is a transsexual. In fact, her Florida driver's license, when you look at the part that says gender, you know, she left that blank mysteriously. I guess she didn't want to be caught lying about her gender.
Now, wait, is that true?
Yeah, that's what I heard, actually. I heard that, I believe it was, it was Brad.
Yeah?
Brad from Brad Blog. Actually, I came across that.
Well, I know that the Brad's item has been that she falsely registered as a voter in Florida and gave a phony address that was the address of her real estate agent.
Yeah, and the other item was the gender on her driver's license.
Yeah.
She had not specified what her gender is.
Well, we're planning one more round of coverage on the Coulter blast, and Max Blumenthal, who's from The Nation, he was on with us a week or two ago about John McCain. He actually was at this conservative conference in Washington on Friday with a video camera rolling and got some very interesting stuff. So we've invited him and also this guy, Dan, the conservative blogger, Dan Borchers, B-O-R-C-H-E-R-S. We've invited one of his colleagues to come on and offer his side of that story. He's the conservative who was there conducting interviews at the conference and was sharply critical of Coulter when she gave her speech. And he was then roughed up, hustled out of the hotel. And he said, well, wait a minute, I paid to attend this conference. And they said, don't worry, we've refunded your money and you're out of here.
Maybe they should have roughed up Coulter and thrown her out of the conference, you know. But, you know, if the Republicans want to use Ann Coulter as your standard bearer, as the poster child for the GOP, fine by me, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, if that's the best they have to offer, then they have no chance of winning the White House in 2008. Unless, of course, Hillary Clinton's the nominee. Then they might have a chance.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Jake. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Peter.
Good to talk with you. And we will, like I said, probably have one more segment on the Coulter flop. And then we'll probably leave it at that. Another dark moment as America creeps toward fascism. Have you heard of Khalid El-Masri? There are two of them. One replaced Zarqawi as the leader of Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. The other is a German citizen who was innocent, and due to his name and its similarity to the Al-Qaeda guy, was picked up. And he was abducted by the United States of America. He was subjected to what we call extraordinary rendition, New Year's Eve 2003. He was held for 23 days and then handed over to CIA operatives who flew him to a secret CIA prison at Bagram in Afghanistan. He was held in a small, filthy cell. He was drugged, beaten, interrogated. And at the end of May 2004, he was dropped off on a remote road in Albania. He has sued the U.S. seeking vindication of his innocence. And a federal judge has ruled in favor of our government, saying that he cannot continue his lawsuit in federal court because it would expose state secrets. Presumably the secrets of how he was abducted illegally, taken across several borders illegally, held without charge and incommunicado illegally, reportedly tortured illegally. Those are the secrets the state wants to preserve and protect. And they're claiming that it's necessary to maintain our security, to keep Americans safe. Well, I support Mr. El-Masri. And someday, I hope that American courts will permit his suit to go forward so that he can vindicate his name and expose the illegal acts of our government, which have been shrouded under so-called state secrecy. Stalin would be proud. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same station. Log on to peterbcollins.com to catch our archives and the link to our live stream. Thanks to producer Matt Renner for another excellent show.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the ad.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At Walter Reed Army Medical Center today, a House panel heard horror stories about the care given to some wounded soldiers. Annette McLeod's husband, a National Guardsman, was injured in Iraq.
This is how we treat our soldiers. We give them nothing. But they're good enough to go and sacrifice their life, and we give them nothing.
CBS News correspondent David Martin covered the hearing.
Some of the red tape seems mindless. A soldier medevaced from Iraq with a leg blown off has to fill out 22 separate forms, including one certifying he was wounded in the line of duty.
General George Waitman, recently removed as commander at Walter Reed, turned to the soldiers and family members in the room and offered an apology. Vice President Dick Cheney was diagnosed today with a potentially dangerous blood clot in his left leg. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has more.
The White House says doctors prescribed a blood thinner, and Vice President Cheney is back at work. There may be a connection with his recent travels. He went around the world, including Pakistan and Afghanistan last month, 65 hours on airplanes. Frequent flyers have been warned to stretch their legs, get a little exercise on the plane. Otherwise, DVT, deep vein thrombosis, could become a fatal blood clot.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports there's still no verdict at the trial of the vice president's former aide, Scooter Libby.
Once again, the jury ends its day with questions that must be answered when court resumes. The seven women and four men appear to be dissecting the charges and instructions like law students. Deliberations are moving into a tenth day.
After hiding in the snowy woods on Michigan's Lower Peninsula, 37-year-old Stephen Grant has been treated for frostbite and hypothermia, and authorities say he's confessed to murdering and dismembering his wife.
Iraqi troops outnumbered Americans by
the majority of her body has been recovered.
Medical examiner Daniel Spitz says there are signs of a struggle.
She has some blunt force injury indicative with an altercation.
Investigators believe Tara Grant was strangled on February 9th, 5 days before her husband reported her missing. Sectarian violence in Baghdad claimed dozens more lives today as U.S. and Iraqi forces press their offensive against the Shiite militia. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi reports.
Iraqi troops outnumbered Americans by 2-1, the exact opposite of previous operations. Meticulously planned in meetings.